The Devatas have a meeting in which they want to determine who is the most powerful personality amongst them, who rules the universe. So, while they are discussing, they see a luminous personality on a mountain, just spreading light, light, light. And they begin to understand that maybe this is a powerful personality which we don't know, so we have to ask him who he is. And they go, they said, Vayu, who are you? Asks Vayu, this powerful personality from whom all this light comes. Says, well, first give your introduction, then I will tell you who I am. I'm Vayu, says Vayu. What can you do? Asked the person at least. Well, says Vayu, don't you know me? I'm moving the planets. I'm so strong, I can move anything and everyone. So this mysterious personality produces a piece of straw and throws it before Vayu and says, can you please move this? And Vayu just wants to kick it, but it doesn't move. Then he blows. But it doesn't move. Then he uses all his strength, the strength which moves the planets. You are hold, tightened by wind cords, as they say. He uses all his strength, which is really a lot. But he cannot move a simple piece of straw. Oh, says the personality, if you are so weak, I don't think you will be able to understand me. So Vayu returns and tells Agni, you please go and find out. I just suffered a tremendous defeat. Agni is the personality in charge of the fiery element. So Agni goes and says, may I know who you are? Thinking that the personality will be able to understand who he is just by his effulgence. But again, the personality says, before I tell you who I am, I want to know who you are. Give you an introduction like a gentleman does. See, in many circuits, you just don't ask anyone who you are. You just say, I am Sachidananda Swami, the most humble servitor of His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In spiritual service, you give with your spiritual master your introduction. This is why I come. You know, the different devotees have their HKS means Hare Krishna Swami, you know, and so on. Their identification according to the spiritual master. So, who are you? Agni says, my name is Agni. What can you do? I can burn anything in this universe if I want. Oh, really? Says the mysterious personality and produces a piece of straw. Please burn this. Agni really is perturbed. How can you ask me for this? Now, you have to know, he can burn a whole planet, no problem. A whole forest, even if it's wet, can become a heap of ash if Agni so desires. But the straw doesn't burn. It takes more sense. Again, the straw does not burn. Then he throws himself with all his strength on this insignificant piece of straw, but it does not burn. Oh, says the personality, I don't think you are ugly. You cannot even burn a piece of straw. I think you will not be able to understand me. Maybe you can send someone else. So Vayu and Agni tell Indra, please, you are our king. You have to speak to this personality. He is mysterious for us. Indra comes, and then he comes. He doesn't find anyone. It's a beautiful. He finds someone, but not this personality full of light, which was seen on the mountain range. He finds this most beautiful woman. See, you have to know Indra is very attracted to the opposite sex. He often gets into problems because he's just so tremendously attached. So that beautiful woman, the most beautiful of women, it's Uma, tells him, my dear Indra, I'm here to tell you that the personality you were trying to figure out was no one else than Vishnu, by whom Agni gets his strength, by whom Vayu gets his strength, and by whom you also get your strength. Vishnu asked me to instruct you that you also understand the important lesson he just wanted to give, that every one of you, in fact, every living entity gets its strength by him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Kena Upanishad means by what? By what do you get your strength? This is a Sanskrit word here, and I'm sorry, but I felt this is one of my favorites. Stories, and I felt compelled to talk about this. Prayuktaha, impelled. Ayam, one. Papam, sins. Chalati, thus. Purushaha, amen. Anichan, without desiring. Api, although. Vashneya, O descendant of Vrishni, Vada, by force, Eva, as if, Neojitaha, engaged. Translation. Arjuna said, O descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Purport. A living entity, as part and parcel of the Supreme, is originally spiritual, pure, and free from all material contaminations. Therefore, by nature, he is not subject to the sins of the material world. But when he is in contact with the material nature, he acts in many sinful ways without hesitation, and sometimes even against his will. As such, Arjuna's question to Krishna is very sanguine as wiser, as to the perverted nature of the living entities. Although the living entity sometimes does not want to act in sin, he still falls to act. Sinful actions are not, however, impelled by the supersoul within, but are due to another cause, as the Lord explains in the next verse. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishdaya Utale Shimadabhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shamyavadi Paskatyati Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Jaya Prabhu Nityananda.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In this verse, Arjuna is expressing a particular dilemma which I think all of us who are pursuing the path of Krishna consciousness are well aware of. It is the problem of freedom. Arjuna says, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? In other words, a person may know the right course of activity, however, he feels compelled to act in a way opposite to what he knows. I think we all know, for instance, that we should chant Hare Krishna with full offense, with full concentration, avoiding all offenses. Yeah, do we know this? Have you heard about this? Are you doing it? Not always. I'm chanting my rounds with full concentration. We all know that if we get on the mental platform, we are lost. Do you sometimes get on the mental platform where attachments are there? Why do you do this? Why do you act against your knowledge? It is because we are compelled. We are not yet free from attachments to the material nature, and as a result, we cannot always act on a platform where we are free from material influences. The living entity, since time immemorial, has been under the influence of the material energy, which, according to Jagannanda Pandit, is a pishacha. Pishacha, you may not know, they are witches. You may not have any experience with witches, but they are quite powerful. A witch can take possession of someone and then make him act according to the magic spell she chooses to put upon him. It's past 8 but not past 12 o'clock, so I can talk about this. I should never talk about these subjects when it gets too late. Especially in Africa, there are such people who know the art of witchcraft, and not all too far away from us, we know of a person who is from time to time falling under the spell. She turns totally wild, she vomits needles, and green vomit. She goes and to her husband and just cuts all his clothes into tiny pieces. And when you ask her, why did you do this? She doesn't know. She's under a spell. So, material energy is doing this to the conditioned soul since time immemorial, forcing the living entity into activities. Prakriti gunai karamani, it says, the gunas, or the modes of that material nature, that drive the living entity to activities which are actually against its own self-interest. When the living entity becomes thus, and thus the living entity becomes entangled. However, the strange thing is, you do not know how this happens. It's just not possible for someone who's under the spell of the material energy to know what is happening. Just now, a magician is touring Germany. His name is David Copperfield. And this person, I mean, it's for instance, there's one thing here. There is a real saw which goes like this. You know saw?
Chainsaw.
You can see the chainsaw goes through him. It goes like down, 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 and his shirt goes and flies all over the place. And then he just gets cut apart, and someone, you can see it, moves the two halves around, and then his legs go plum, 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 and all the beautiful girls in the audience go like, "Ah, my David Copperfield," or whatever his name is. And you have no idea what goes on. It's a very difficult to understand how he does it. And then they put it again together, and he just jumps up and does this next thing when he flies in the air, you know. No one knows how it goes, but he's just cheating his audience. It's just a trick, a more refined trick, but you can't see through it. That's why he makes so much money. So, this is how Maya works, my dear devotees. Has us. See, if you know the law of anything which is outside of you, you can perceive it. You can also, for instance, perceive a thought which is unusual to you. For instance, you may be following the rules of celibacy, and due to the influence of spring, you might perceive some bodily changes in you, and as a result, there is a desire which is actually foreign to you. You know, I don't want this. So, because it's so foreign to you, you recognize it as something strange, and you want to be free of it. In other words, if you want to perceive something, wenn du etwas wahrnehmen möchtest, canvas, and you can only do it if it's something which is a little bit separated from you. Then you can observe it as the observer observes the observed. But Maya is so tricky, you can't observe her. You can't recognize there is something, some influence which does something with me. You think, it's me! That makes it so difficult to get free, to get out of Maya. I want to tell you a little story. By the way, I know you all had a long evening and a long day behind you, so I don't want to talk just difficult philosophy, but I will talk through stories. I believe in stories as a very good way to make a complicated subject intelligible to the audience. Once the Saint Agastya Muni came to the court of Janaka, Agastya Muni was a little eccentric, and he moved in a very difficult way. In a way, he was broken at 8 parts when he was in the mother's embryo. You know, as an embryo, he was broken. His bones were broken at 8 parts, so he moved. I can't explain how he moved. I have not seen him moving. Something like a baby dinosaur or very awkward. So when he came out, people wanted to stop him. What does he want from our king? But he went right into the court. As it didn't. Buddha sein Hof appeared. And Janaka saw him and immediately knew this is a great saint and paid his prostrated obeisances. Oh, said Janaka, my life is very fortunate that you are here. Let me ask you a question. How can we get out of Maya? Do you think that's an interesting question? No, everyone is with his mind far away. Do you follow this question? How can we get out of Maya? Do you think this has relevance for your life? No. It is truly abstract, this question, or truly relevant. Sorry, please be aggressive. So Agastya Muni smiled, and he did something which pedagogically is just wonderful. He went to the next pillar, Säule, embraced it, and screamed, "Let me go! Let me go! Let me go!" Eccentric, telling us what is he doing, and then I guess he just dropped his arms, smiled his mischievous glance to Janaka, and went into the forest. So for those of you who didn't understand what he wanted to say is, you can let Maya go. Imagine, let me go. I want to lecture and leave my hands, let me go, microphone stand. You know, you would most probably call the people in the white dress and bring me to the emotionally disturbed fellows. We can let go of Maya, but first we need to see her. The pillar can be seen. Therefore, everyone says it's there's no point of saying, "Let me go, pillar." You are holding the pillar. A person who is in Maya in a similar way is holding fast to Maya. And the only way to get out of this is to separate yourself from Maya and see yourself as being something, you know, and observing the Maya. Now, personally, I'm preaching since many years to devotees who have problems with the overcoming the material energy, and I have different tricks, so to say, different things to tell them. When you are in Maya, do something else, get a distance. When you want to go into the material, back in the material world, back to materialistic people, let's just do something like finding the temple or go in the garden and in the plow department and plow and dig. This was Prabhupada's advice to several of his disciples. You know, the art is to give a person the chance to get out of his pattern from the Verhaltensmuster, and then you can help the person to look at the old pattern so that it's possible for him to recognize Maya, see Maya, and then to let it go. That's the trick which has to be done. That's why the Prabhupada spent so much time to us explaining the miseries of material life. He wanted to make them extremely clear and visible so that we would see. Most probably, you couldn't see it. Many devotees say when they first hear that the four miseries of material life are birth, old age, disease, and death, they don't really see the point. They don't really see that this is a misery of material existence, isn't it? When the devotees explain this, when we explain it to people, usually they just, okay, what's the next point? They don't think really how this is miserable, because they are Maya. They think it is natural to be born, and natural to die, and natural to grow old, and natural to become sick. They don't think, well, something needs to be done against it. No understanding, because they are so much in Maya. So the acharyas are preaching, telling us, the first time I thought something is wrong with death is when the devotee explained to me, what would you think about if someone takes away your cloth? I think I wouldn't like it if I would need the cloth. But what would you think if they would also take away your bicycle? What would you think if they would take, in addition, the money away from you and all your friends and your body? Yes, that's the devotee. That's what death does to you. And then he said, and rest assured, this will happen to you. You will be totally plundered. You are no exception. And then only by this very easy form of preaching, the understanding came, yes, this is not all right. It's not a very nice thing. It's not, you shouldn't say it's natural and just don't think about it. But we should think about how to avoid it or overcome it. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gaura Nitai ki jai. So what I want to say is, in order to get out of the influence of the material energy, which forces us to act against our will and understanding, we need to separate ourselves from this material energy. In this process of separation, it is exactly what Krishna consciousness is about. The process of Krishna consciousness can be, you can test it if it works, how much you are separated from material desires to enjoy, especially how free you are from sex desire. This is the test, the crucial acid test, which will help you to see how much you are close-grilled and detached from illusion and from material life. In Krishna consciousness, we have to practice the process with great enthusiasm, with perseverance, and also with patience, so that by Krishna's mercy, we are getting separated from the material energy. Krishna is like the sun, and if we are making our lives, arranging our lives, that we can always think of Krishna and remember Krishna, we are walking freely under the Krishna sun. And by that Krishna sun influence, oh, we will separate ourselves from the material energy. In the fourth canto, the example of the coconut has been applied. The coconut is firmly connected with the flesh of the coconut. That is coconut's mark. But you can eat that. The white substance, the flesh of the coconut, is very much connected with the nut, the hard shell, the shell of the nut. Now, if you have sun, the sun rays, the flesh separates from the hard shell, and you can move the shell and hear the sound of the mark. In the same way, you can separate yourself from the illusory identification with the body if you expose yourself under the light of the Krishna sun. But many times our devotees think it's getting too hot. We need a change. Let me go back to the coolness of the Antarctic. Maya, embrace me with your cold, snowy arms. Ugh, what a shame. No, sometimes Krishna consciousness gets very hot. Yes, that's God. Just keep on going. Tolerate the hot a little bit. Especially those who are preaching. Sometimes get so much service and so much and this. On our Sharanagati preaching program, we are always on this phone and this. And can you come here? And yes, and I want. And there's not enough hours in the day, not enough seconds in the day. Nothing is enough when it comes to time. But that's good when the then the Krishna service is getting intense. That separates us from this world. Please, all of you, test yourself how much you are separating yourself from the world of Maya, and how much you are having to feel the rays of the Krishna sun in your life. Don't run away when the sun rays of Krishna's mercy get hotter. Don't hide in dark caves provided by your mind. Stay in the sunlight of Krishna consciousness, and then you will not even notice how Maya is there, and you will not even see her. She will hide, because darkness cannot be stand before the light. It's not possible. Each one of us, we should arrange our days, remaining days in this world. Remaining is that we should arrange our remaining hours and minutes in the world, that we can always be in connection with Sri Krishna. And remember him. Connection means to remember Krishna, to not forget him. See, I may be living with you in the same house, but if I don't think of you, then I'm in a different world, I'm somewhere else. Guys, this is our base, absent-minded. Krishna consciousness, we need to be connected to Krishna by these processes of smaranam, seeing Krishna, doing our service, and thinking of Krishna at the same time. Then we will separate ourselves from the illusory energy that will be. We are a little pressured for time today, and I won't be able to take questions at this stage. Let me just summarize the lecture so that you know what we were talking about in one glance and auf einen Blick sozusagen. We were talking about Gena, by what are we moving. We brought the Leela how the demigods wanted to see who is the most powerful. Then we were getting directly into the verse where Arjuna asked the question, O descendant of Rishi, by what is one impelled to sinful acts even unwillingly as if engaged by force? We were bringing this dilemma up, that a devotee may know what to do, but he can't do it. We said Maya is Maya's force, which manifests in lusty attachments to this material world. And in order to overcome Maya, who acts as a witch acts, or as a David Copperfield acts and bewilders us, we have to first of all see the trick. And that's difficult because Maya is inside us. So we can see Maya if we separate ourselves by knowledge. But much better than knowledge is if the Krishna Sun rises in our lives. And by that powerful influence of Krishna consciousness, a devotee can be separated. A devotee shouldn't feel, oh, it's getting too hot now, he had run to the Antarctic. He should, she should remain in the process, surrender, be baked by devotion service, and you will see. Good. Let us end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gaura Nityananda ki jai.